Hey, welcome back to Scaling Side Hustles. I'm Valerie, one of your hosts. Hillary's not with us today, unfortunately, but today you will be hearing from Joshua. He recently gave a class at an awesome nonprofit called the Thrive Networks, where their mission is revitalizing Southeast Colorado Springs through entrepreneurship. He taught primarily on the Lean Canvas. Well, his iteration of it anyway. Hope you like it and you learn a thing or two. Bye.
So how is the homework for everybody? Did anybody have big issues finding clarity there? I want to hear from you first. Go ahead, Katie.
So the last category on there in regards to cost.
Yeah.
Were we supposed to go pretty granular on that and know the exact amount of the things, or just itemize what we know?
It's meeting you where you're at. So like, you know, at my level I'm going super granular, but at your level you may not know those costs yet.
Okay.
But you may know that you need some marketing or a new website.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
What if you don't have like a financial cost and your cost is just really the truck?
Well, yeah, I would rethink that because I do lotion, laundry.
Yeah. But time is a cost too.
Okay.
So you might look at how much money you need to pay yourself to survive.
Okay.
I wanted to show you guys real quick, whenever you're settled in, what the Lean Canvas actually looks like. Because we've created a condensed version that focuses just on what you need to know right now. But that doesn't give you the whole perspective of what the Lean Canvas was designed for and what it's trying to teach you. And as you go through the course and further into your career and business, like, you may want to utilize the entire Lean Canvas. You can see it's divided into two parts here, product and market. And so half of the things relate to the product and half of the things relate to the market, which is the people that you're trying to reach. Okay? The difference between what you have in front of you and what's up here is it doesn't say competitors anywhere. So I've been studying this model for about 10 years, and I started an adaptation to the model to include competitors, because how do you know if you have an unfair advantage if you don't know who you're comparing yourself against? Does that make sense? You can find this by just Google searching Lean Canvas, and it's the first result in Google Images.
Jeff?
Yes?
Why is it called Canvas?
So it's just a single page business model. And it was this guy that created it, Ash Mariah, and he created it from the business model Canvas. So he took that and made a Lean Canvas from it. So it's just a single page business plan, but it's a model of more than a plan.
I think he's in the word canvas like a painting of your business type thing.
Yeah, kind of. But I think it just more implies like single page. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So he goes through like what are your top three problems, top three features as a solution. Who your target customers, what is the path to the customers, and then revenue streams and cost structure. So this is where we kind of left off there, and I wanted to drive a little bit deeper into that at the start of today's class. So for revenue streams, does anybody have any struggle with identifying how they're making money in their business, how you're charging your customers, what are you selling?
So for my business, I know that I'm charging my guests for like food that they're eating, the experience, and then my expertise, my time. So I need to find out in my model what that looks like, because I learned in school it's 30-30-30. That doesn't always pay all the bills that go into hosting someone.
So. Okay. So business model, again, I don't have all of your guys' businesses.
Oh, so like in culinary school, we learned 30-30-30, so 30% of whatever you're charging the guests is what the food costs, the product itself.
Yeah.
Then the other 30% goes to paying yourself or employees, and then the other 30 is for like utilities, whatever in the building.
Sure. Yeah, I have a similar model. I do cost times three.
Okay.
So I figure out what my costs are, and then I multiply that by three, because that gives me a 33% profit margin and 33% for taxes, which is overestimating. Anybody else on the revenue stream, like how your service is making money or your product is making money, how you're structuring that? This is so important that you know how to structure your services, so even if you think you're confident, maybe you want to just voice that anyway.
Hi, my name is Adi Massage, so it's by the, you can do 30 minutes, 45, and 60, so you divide the time,
yep.
And then all the add-ons. So different add-ons have different time, like so deep tissue or extra time or essential oils, they all have markups.
Yeah, very traditional massage model, right? Okay.
So mine's the cleaning business, so the like package pricing, so monthly,
mm-hmm.
Fixed one-time thing for hourly, but I'm not like fit set on that.
Got it. What does that include if I do the monthly?
So that would be kind of depend on the contract.
Sure.
Whether it was commercial or residential.
Okay.
That would kind of depend on each person.
Okay, let's say it's residential. How would you structure the monthly retainer?
So if they were going to pay every month, it would be, I'll be honest, I just know those are the different things I want to offer.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to like fluctuate it depending on what people want to offer.
Got it. So if I'm hiring you to clean my house, I might look at, I just need you to clean my living room because I often have parties in my living room, you know. Maybe you have a package that includes the number of rooms, you know, or you have a package that is based on the square footage of the house. So you're looking at, what are the metrics? So now we get into like key metrics here of how you're tracking your cost to determine your revenue structure. Make sense? Kevin, revenue streams, we talked a little bit about this. How does your business make money?
Like service lanes?
Yeah.
Through commercials, live production.
So how do you charge that customer for a commercial? Is it hourly, fixed price?
Neither. It's commercials more custom according to what they need. The amount of crew there is.
Got it.
The only thing that's kind of fixed is like testimonials.
Got it.
Which usually takes one person and I like $1,800 just for the testimonial.
Got it. Thing, but. So you have a custom package price.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to draw this divergent information so you can say, oh, maybe my business could leverage that. Did you have a question?
No, I can do that.
Go for it, yeah.
So mine is a floor design business,
yeah.
So it's pretty much set based on the type of centerpiece or structure that they need to be built for their event. And depending on how large it is, starts to be the cost of it.
Okay.
There's also a cost for transportation if it's outside of a certain radius. So
you
go an hour and a half one way, an hour and a half another, you may charge for that particular time.
Perfect. A little additional upsell to cover your costs.
Correct.
That makes sense. I think some people that may not know about like the centerpieces, like that might be confusing for me as the end user. The way that you market your pricing to your customers is just as important. Like maybe you understand it really well, but your end user may not. And at the end of this class, we're going to talk a little bit about market surveys. And so if you have a complicated pricing structure, that might be one of the questions that you throw in the market survey.
I talked about my pricing a little bit over the weekends, but to go into more specifics, I based it off of another career coach who's up in Denver, and she had these pricing packages and some more complicated versions. But when I sat down and took a look at like how much time I was actually spending, I calculated what hours I would spend on this package or that package or this package. So I have an hourly rate. And essentially that's what I'm trying to build into whatever package I offer people. Like I'm gonna spend 5 hours on this person, but I spend 20 hours over here. So this costs this much, not cost that much. But I did make adjustments because I had people saying like, I don't want to commit to a whole package. I just want to do a one-off session. And I said, okay, great. That's going to be this, which is a little bit more because to me, it's like I'm not really getting a full commitment out of my client, but they get what they want. I get a little extra cash out of it, and I still hit my hourly rate or above.
That's great. Did you have a question there?
No.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Please.
I mean, we talked a lot about giving back to the community, so let's say
hey, veterans get 5% off.
Yeah.
Are you adding that into your 33% as well to cover that?
Yes, you can go both ways. So I typically do it as off of the 33%. So I'm taking out of my profits.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
There's a great app that I wish somebody taught me about when I started business. This marker doesn't work. It's called Toggle. Can you guys all read that? Toggle.com. It's T-O-G-G-L-E. L. And I've got an echo. So Toggle is great for time tracking. There's an app on the phone, and I track everything that I do in my business. And I have my team track everything that they do. And this is how I bill my clients based on how my team is tracking time and how I'm leveraging my time. And then when I'm working in the company or on the company, I can see where I'm spending my time and understand better, like, maybe my price needs to be higher. So track your time, track everything in detail. And when you start tracking that, you'll start to understand, like, oh, maybe my rate needs to be higher, or maybe I need to be focusing on something else.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask another question, too? When we look at competitors to see what they're charging, some of them have been in the business for a long time and want a higher rate. So I struggle with, I don't want to overprice, but I don't want to undervalue.
Yeah.
So how to come to that? Are we going to talk about that later?
Sure, let's talk about it right now. Okay. So that's a great point. Like, as a consultant, consultant prices are really hidden. Like, you can't figure out how much McKinsey and Company, which is one of the largest consultants, charges. Mm-hmm. So that was very difficult for me going in. So I just went to, what do I need to make? Three times that cost. And then getting my profit and my taxes, get a few customers, and then with every quality customer that I get, especially the retainer, I bump up my price until I get to a place where I feel comfortable. I'm valued at that. Please.
I was thinking about how you said you have that pay-as-you-go model.
Yes.
And I really am interested in that.
Yeah.
So like in a facial service, like I have a custom facial, where like bare bones, whatever, it's $60 an hour.
Uh-huh.
But I have like add-on services that I can add on similar to how you have. But I'm thinking about like the access to that. And so if someone feels like they don't have access to $180 add-on service, like what that could pay as you go, I don't know.
So mine is pay what you can for the initial consultation.
Right.
So that gives them a taste of the value at their price point. And then I have flexible retainers. So essentially I sell it as a ceiling. Like, we need to come together on what you can afford monthly.
Right.
And I have my hourly rate, which is fixed at the size of your business, and then we bill against that monthly ceiling.
Okay.
So that I know what your expectations are, and you know what my capacity is, and we're not going to like have any arguments down the road.
Right. Okay. So I figured it could be like a consultative facial.
Yeah.
And it could be like, here's what I recommend.
Yeah.
Do it for make it like an intro. This is your introductory facial.
Right.
And then you can, but you can add all these things, or you can like do a membership. But like yours, kind of like ours, is kind of like a lot of like, how are you giving them a taste of like, a lot of my services are not going to make a difference that first time. So even if I do a dermaplaning service that day for what they can pay, they're still going to need a couple more services to get.
Right. So you can only give them a taste of some of them that deliver the value, where they can see the value.
So maybe not something that they like a smaller app. And then because the ones who like that, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
If they like it, they're going to come.
Yeah.
They live like they're religious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much difference could customers see in like a month of working with you?
It depends on what their problems are and if they're following proper at-home care. But I'd say, I don't even know how to put like a name or a word or language to that. But I have seen noticeable differences. Like, I've seen a client go from dehydrated, healing,
red furry skin to, I can get up and wash my face without it being painful for you.
So depending on how long you would typically work with your clients, you can kind of offer just kind of right for the first, like if, say you're going to work with them for 3 months, yeah. Then say this is the introductory monthly working fee, and then after that goes up a little bit. But by that point, they would see like, oh, this is really worth it. I feel really good after this 1 month. And at that point, you've had several times to converse with them and talk and say, okay, well, to keep this up, then the next month is going to be really useful for your skin. You could stop there, but I don't think you should.
Yeah, it's a scalable model. I like it. So yeah, the biggest thing that I learned in business is they need to taste the value first, and then you got to quote them on the rest of the value. So they need to have clear expectations of how much things are going to cost going forward once they taste the value. I stopped doing initial consultations for free because people didn't value it. And so now that I exchanged a dollar for that consultation, it's whatever they feel it's worth, and I've increased my conversion rate for those initial consultations by charging something.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Josh, we have a hospitality venue and we have not launched yet.
Okay.
So we're subsidizing events.
Okay.
We have an event and we asked for a deposit because the amount of money that we needed to rent and operate their event, if they canceled on us, we didn't want it to be a total loss.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about if we had a relationship with that customer based on referrals? So their event would always be free if they gave us a 2-3-5 referrals.
Yeah.
What do you
That's how I set up mine. So you can lower your monthly retainer by 10% with every retainer that you give me.
Okay.
And that's in perpetuity because I'm essentially making the profit off of somebody else. And if you drop that down enough, you become my business partner.
Right.
All right, you guys. I want to make sure that you all have revenue streams because in order to like fly through this course and at the end of the cohort, you guys have like a sustainable business model to make money. You guys really need to finish the homework correctly today. So I'm going to use Kiki's model here because she's got a good example. So she's defined her problem as I need help planning a party. And that's only one problem. So number one. And then you have three customer segments. You have parents.
Yeah, well, mainly parents.
But you wrote down parents, businesses.
And then I guess
other
adults,
it
could be for anybody.
Sure, yeah. And adults. Who has that problem?
All
of them. But they frame the problem differently. Uh-huh. I need to throw a party for my team to celebrate a win is a business owner's problem. So if you're not defining the problem accurately per customer segment, your solution is going to be ambiguous and your revenue stream is going to be more ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to have a one-to-one-to-one problem solution customer in order to move on.
So can I ask about that too? Because I was chatting with my mentor about that yesterday. It can be vast.
Yeah.
So how do we target and focus, or do we just see who starts showing up? Because if we're going to do this model, we need to be pretty specific.
Yeah.
So am I just at this point making a decision like, here's who I want to work with and serve? Or do I leave it open and see what patterns appear?
Sure. Great question. So there's a great, where's the keyboard and mouse for this? Oh, there's this. So, Simon Sinek's golden circle. So, you're gonna start with your why if you don't have the customers behind you to validate your MVP, your minimum viable product. So if you do have the minimum viable product, you're going to lead with where you're making money already. Like Kevin's already got sales and videography, so he's going to lead with that. If you don't have that money already, you're going to lead with your why. Why? Because if you are not making money and you're not seeing that return on investment of your time, you don't want to deplete your energy working on a business that's not bringing you fulfillment. Because you will work so hard as an entrepreneur, and you need to be fulfilled doing that. This fulfills me, working with all of you guys. This is what I love to do. How is structuring the services, and then what is looking at the testimonials and the results of your efforts? So you're going to look at the data on the back end and start to iterate the lean canvas. And that's so important. Most people go back to their business model and say, like, okay, I'm a year in, what do I need to change? Where am I making the most money from? Where is bringing me the most fulfillment? And just attacking those two categories.
Before we sign off, we want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Cressio.com. They're committed to empowering the underprivileged by offering pay-what-you-can consultations for a limited time. And don't forget, you too can join the conversation and apply for a free consultation session live on air with Hillary, Valerie, and yours truly at scalingsidehustles.com. Who knows? You might be our next guest. See you next time, side hustlers.